X-Men, the audio drama, now presented by Rivalcast Media at rivalcastmedia.com. You can also find these shows on YouTube and in some cases edited to the comic panels. Just search for my name, Cole Dutton, or X-Men Season 1 or Season 2 on YouTube to find it. X-Men Season 1, Episode 4, The Sentinels Return, Part 2.
New York City. Miles from the city is an abandoned government facility. In it, Jean Grey fades back into reality, her eyes opening as she realizes that she is restrained, much like she was back on Genosha, when brought before Magneto. Upright and shackled by her hands and legs to upright slabs, she looks around, noticing Banshee, Wolverine, and Colossus also present.
What?
What? Red, you alright?
I think so. Where are we?
Beats me.
This, my dear mutants, is a facility your friend Fred Duncan once used, abandoned after his branch of the FBI was shut down. How apt that my group has now claimed it for my own purposes.
And what would those be? Who are you?
Stephen Lang, former member of the CIA, and the only person left willing to do something about you.
Where did you get the Sentinels? Are you backed by the government?
Nah. Now, these Sentinels are leftovers from that last battle. Metal Sentinels. They never got sent in against you after you got to the President and changed him. And while Metal Sentinels were a risk when you had that terrorist Magneto on your side, none of you have that kind of power. You don't even have that green-haired girl anymore.
We didn't change the President. We convinced him that what he was doing was wrong. That Trask and his kind were just as insane as Magneto. That we needed to be rid of men like them, so that reason could prevail.
Where has that reason gotten us? Tsunamis all across the Pacific due to an island going missing. An island. More dead men and women who were just serving their country.
Nefaria wasn't a mutant. We were just...
You were the cause. You are always the cause. Every man, woman, and child that is hurt tonight, that... is on you.
Yeah, because we're the ones who sent in giant killing machines and wrecked the city.
You were a threat that needed to be neutralized.
Let me down, and I'll show you what kind of threat I can be, bub.
What do you intend to do with us?
I intend to study you. To use every part of what makes you the threats you are and turn that into a strength. Something we can harness to protect our people.
Protect people? Great job so far, Lang.
The test will begin shortly.
Lang turns and walks out of the room as the X-Men shift themselves so as to gaze upon each other.
So now that the bad guy has explained his dastardly plan, are we gonna bust out of here? I really need a pee.
Already on it.
Jean now looks over and uses her mind to undo the restraints on each of their hands and feet.
I guess you don't have to be too bright to be in the CIA these days.
Maybe he's just a janitor who overheard the right conversation.
Shall we go? I find myself wanting to crush some metallic objects. Preferably Sentinels.
Now you're learning, Petey.
Hang on. I need to make this dress shorter. Damn thing cost me enough, but I can't fight in it.
Allow me, Genie.
Hey! Not so short, thank you very much.
Let's move.
The front doors of Xavier Mansion are thrown open as Cyclops and Storm return with some urgency.
Professor? Professor!
Over here, my friends. Where are the others?
We were attacked by Sentinels and they were captured. You didn't know? Where's the professor?
You'd better come with me.
The two now follow him up the stairs to the master bedroom, where Charles Xavier lays, unconscious.
He went for an afternoon nap. When he did not return, I went to go check on him, and was unable to wake him.
Have you tried telepathically? Through the link he set up with us all?
Yes, no luck.
Professor. Professor. Wake up. We need you.
I have tried all that, Cyclops. He will not respond.
We need him to use Cerebro so we can locate the others.
Was Jean?
Yes, she was.
Oh, Scott. I'm so sorry.
Perhaps there is another way to locate them.
Jean!
But you just said...
No, she and I... We have our own psychic link. We set it up so we could communicate when she left. If she's awake, then I can... Wait a moment. Jean. Jean, can you hear me?
Scott? Yes, Scott, I can hear you. Oh, thank God, are you okay? I was worried that the Sentinels...
Storm and I are back in the mansion, but Xavier is in some sort of coma.
What? Oh no. The dreams. It must be to do with the dreams.
What dreams?
I'll explain later. First, you have to come find us.
Where are you?
Some shut-down FBI base. We'll know more in a moment. Hang on.
I've made contact with Scott. He and Storm are fine, but they need to know where we are.
Well then, let us find out.
With a mighty crash, Colossus smashes open the reinforced door, opening the dark corridors up into the open night sky. The group run out and look around, trying to determine their location.
It looks like we're still in New York. But it looks like an island. I can see water from here. Scott, we're nearby. Wait, I see Brooklyn from here. I'm trying to send you my position through the link. See with my eyes, Scott. See where we are.
Lads, Sentinels!
Here we go, people. Round two.
Jean, I know where you are. I went there with the professor once. He didn't let me come in, but... On our way.
Hurry, Scott. The Sentinels have found us.
The next few minutes seem like hours, as the four mutants battle with everything they have, their casual clothing being torn from their bodies into mere rags as they take on the giant machines. They hold their own, but are in need of reinforcements. Fast. Jean now backs off from a blast into a wall, steadying herself there and reaching out with all she has left to pull as Sentinel down by its arm, down toward Colossus, who nails it with a mighty shot, crushing its metal skull. She then looks up as she hears the sounds of the jet engines, and then, with a rush of both joy and relief, she sees the Blackbird shooting towards them. Banking to its side and lowering its ramp. Both Storm and Nightcrawler emerge from it, Kurt teleporting to the ground in three stages as the Windrider takes to the night sky. As they engage, Cyclops brings the jet into land.
I believe you called for backup, my friends.
Nice to see you, Elf. Not sure what good you're gonna be against these suckers, though.
Have some imagination, lieber Wolverine.
With that, Nightcrawler transports himself onto the back of one of the Sentinels, ripping out a circuit from its neck, transporting to the ground, then back over and over again, each time pulling out something that looks important, until finally, the robot simply falls forward and crashes to the ground. Nightcrawler appearing before Wolverine in a puff of smoke, and giving a lopsided grin.
That's just one, Elf.
In the sky above them now, Banshee swoops in, screaming at the top of his lungs and vibrating the Sentinel with his sound waves, sending it off balance. Behind him, Storm now gathers storm clouds above her, and with a crash of thunder, brings a lightning strike down through the Sentinel, destroying it. As it falls, Cyclops now runs over from the landed jet towards Jean Grey.
Jean, are you all right?
In need of a new dress, but yeah. Now I know what to ask Santa for.
It had a new code name.
Lang has seen our faces, Scott. There are no identities to protect. Lang! Where is he?
As Jean realizes this, inside the man in question is busy erasing all data from the computers there and packing his things to leave, knowing that he can do no more. He now closes his briefcase, then turns, stopping at the sight of... someone.
Stephen Lang.
What? Who are you? Oh, it's you. Look, don't point that, whatever that is, at me like that. You scare the daylights out of me.
It should.
What? No!
Sorry, Stephen Lang, but you are no longer needed. You failed us. But soon, he will be here to take care of the mutants himself. And from what I have seen, they won't stand a chance.
He's dead. Someone murdered him.
Murdered? By who?
I don't...
Does it matter? We'll deal with it later. Let's finish this. Petey, fastball special.
Ready, tovarish.
Wolverine now runs with all he has at Colossus, who grabs him and uses the momentum, and with all his mighty strength throws Wolverine into the air, flying towards the nearest sentinel, claws out front. He reaches his target, the claws digging into the sentinel's metallic cranium. Wolverine now perched upon it, and then brings his claws up and stabs his metal hand knives down into its skull. The robot's eye is growing dark, and it falls as Wolverine jumps off and lands next to Nightcrawler.
My God! I never realized.
Don't be a sore loser, Elf. I outdid ya. No reason to get...
No, your claws. I always thought they were part of your gloves. They are in your hands. Are they your mutation?
That is a very long story, Fuzzball. One we don't have time for now.
Up above, Storm brings down further crashes of lightning. Cyclops runs in and blasts away with his optic beams. Banshee screaming the giant metal men apart. One by one, the Sentinels continue to fall to the X-Men. As the battle rages on, Jean Grey and Wolverine now find themselves back to back, backed into a corner by three remaining Sentinels.
They just keep coming.
I think he repaired a few we trashed in the city. Hey, Red.
Yes, Wolverine?
When we make it out of this, promise me you won't go back to your boring life. You belong with us, and you know it.
Wolverine, in that boring life, I don't have to worry about giant robots trying to kill me.
Ugh. And yet, they came for you anyway, when you were trying to live a normal life. Oh, and Red?
Yeah?
Call me Logan.
Jean allows herself a moment to turn towards him, to flash him a smile, but then is brought back into sober reality as she is just able to use her power to deflect a blast away from herself and Wolverine, looking up as the three giants close in.
I don't know how much I have left. If I get you up there, can you...
Just say the word, Jeannie.
Jean nods, putting up a permanent force field over the two of them, setting up for the plan of attack. When she notices five sentinels closing in on the others, Nightcrawler is down. Storm is nailing them from behind, but her lightning strikes are beginning to weaken. Scott, giving all he has on the ground. Colossus, now running up and pounding into a sentinel's leg, but is then kicked away, sent flying into the air. Banshee, just able to swoop and catch him, but is then blasted from the sky. The two falling to the grass. Scott and Storm, the only ones left standing as the Sentinels close in. Time seems to slow as Jean looks between the others and themselves, barely hearing Wolverine's yells as she looks up and sees Storm now swooping down from the sky, trying to get between the robots and her teammates, and failing as she is blasted down herself. Scott, now alone, The others either out cold or barely able to stand as their leader valiantly fights them off.
Red! Red! Jean! Do it!
They won't survive. Scott won't survive. I don't have the strength left for both.
Her eyes move to the sentinels above, as all five closing units now raise their arms, their hands glowing bright, ready to discharge. The three units above herself and Wolverine continue to fire, continue to weaken her shield. Jean holds up her hands, creating another force field, now protecting both groups from fire.
I can't hold them both. Logan, your powers will let you heal.
Mine, yeah, but you, Red, no!
Across the battlefield, Scott looks towards her, his eyeline catching hers.
Jean?
Jean! No!
Both try to run for her, but it is too late. Jean now lowers her hands and head, then brings them up again, her eyes glowing, as she throws up a brighter, stronger force field over the large group. The others start to rise defiantly beneath it, all of them looking in her direction. Scott actively trying to break through the barrier, but to no avail. Behind her, Wolverine runs in to grab her. Stop her. But with a single gesture, she sends him flying away from her. The dome force field around the others now glowing bright. The psychic energy pulsing outward, sending the five sentinels flying. Exploding into a million pieces. Behind her, the rising Wolverine watches in awe. They all do. She has never been this powerful until now. But it uses the last ounce of strength she had. Jean falls to her knees in exhaustion, unable to even stand. With the field lowered, Cyclops now begins to run towards the two. The others follow. Scott, running as fast as his legs will carry him, aims up and blasts a sentinel's head to pieces. But it is too late. The other two units fire. And in that millisecond, Jean softly smiles.
Goodbye.
Back at the mansion, Xavier's eyes shoot open.
No!
No! No!
Scott and the others are stopped in their tracks by the massive, dazzling explosion in their path. As the blinding light fades, there is only flame and scorched earth where once Jean stood. Cyclops lowers into a pounding breath. He then looks upward with teeth clenched as the two remaining sentinels turn towards him to open fire. Before they can, Scott opens his visor, the full fury of his optic blasts shredding the upper half of one of the sentinels in two as Storm and Banshee take care of the other.
No, no, oh God, no. Please, God, no.
Scott rushes towards the flame, ignoring all yells of warning from the others as his red-tinted eyes search for something, anything among the wreckage. Sentinel bodies and pieces are everywhere, the earth before them scorched by the blazing fire. Last month, he lost an X-Man, but that man he had barely known, had even had confrontation with. And yet still he had mourned him, for that day he had been unable to think of anything else, of his failure. Now, the X-Man, the woman in question, was his lover. Scott finds himself throwing pieces of debris aside with cries of anguish, ignoring the scorching pain of the heat upon his hands.
Come on, come on! You have to be here! You have to be! Jean!
As he yells her name again, a piece of wreckage moves, and Wolverine emerges from beneath it, His skin is badly burned. However, before Scott's eyes, the skin now begins to heal. When finally Wolverine is whole again, the two look at each other for a terrible moment of understanding. Wolverine then turns his head towards another large stack of wreckage, seeming to sniff the air, and runs over to it, extending his claws and slicing the metal away. Scott, running up as below it now lays the lifeless form of Jean Grey.
She is not...
Perhaps she was able to use some reserve strength to protect herself from the blast. Perhaps she is still...
Please be okay. Please tell me it was enough.
Scott yells as he throws the remaining wreckage aside, aided by Wolverine. The two men now lift the red-haired woman's body down to the unmarked grass.
Get off of her!
Scott snaps at Wolverine, throwing away his hand. He turns back and begins to check every pulse, putting his head to her chest. Nothing.
Is she?
Wolverine looks up, his face stopping the rest of them in their tracks. He somberly shakes his head. Aurora gasps, bringing her hand to cover her mouth, barely able to contain the sobbing as it begins. Behind her, the others lower their heads, their somber thoughts their own. On the ground, Scott now begins pounding on her chest, yelling in panic, giving her mouth to mouth, doing everything he can to bring her back.
No. No. No, come on, Jean. Come back to me. I can't. I can't do this alone. You have to be okay. You are always okay. You have to be okay. Come on!
Scott's desperate cries of despair sound out in the night sky, as Wolverine now finally comes up behind him, bringing a hand down upon his shoulder.
Cyclops. Scott. She's gone.
No. No.
Scott falls backwards as if hit by the force of realization. His teammate he knows only as Wolverine catches him. Unable to contain it anymore, Scott begins to sob uncontrollably.
She didn't have to do that. She should have.
She saved us. She made a choice, and she chose to use everything she had left to save us. She sacrificed herself so that you could live.
No. I should have been the one to die. She left. She wasn't on the team. No.
We should take her home. Someone bring around the jet.
I'll do it, lad.
As he passes, Sean Cassidy places a hand on Scott Summers' shoulder. For that is all he can give him at this time. His new friends now gathering around their grieving leader and the body of their friend. This is the second teammate they have lost. And this, more than even Proudstar, makes it very clear that it could have been any of them. Almost an hour later, the group are now aboard their jet, flying back towards home.
We're just coming up over Jamaica Bay, Professor. He hasn't said a word since we boarded.
Yes. Perhaps if I had been. Hurry home. I must find the courage to inform her family.
What happened to you?
I do not know. And right now I do not care, Sean.
At the aft of the plane, Scott sits on the metal floor, looking over at the lifeless remains of his lover. Then, suddenly, the plane shudders, the lights flickering.
What the hell was that?
The lights then flicker again as they hear the noise once more. The group turn with a start and watch as from the walls comes an apparition of flame, taking the shape of a bird as it travels the cockpit and flies down into the body of Jean Grey. Scott looks up from his tear-glazed eyes as Jean, suddenly exhales. Her body arching up to life as her eyes shoot open and emerald irises are replaced by the blazing orange and red colors of fire.
Jean?
My God!
They barely have time to register what they have seen as the cockpit's lights flicker again and then shut off entirely, along with every panel and display and the sounds of the engines.
What happened?
We have no power.
The X-Men yell as their plane, now without power, begins to nosedive towards the waters of Jamaica Bay.
I shall try and rise us on the wind, but it may be too late.
Professor, can you hear me? The plane has lost power. We're going down.
Behind them, Scott holds himself up on the walls of the plane, looking over in both shock and awe as Jean's body rises up further, as fire begins to travel outward from her body, consuming it.
Jean!
He tries to reach her, but it's too late.
Hold on to something!
The group rise up from their hard landing, looking around the plane, just about to thank its maker for being watertight, when the fire around Jean explodes into a dazzling light, destroying the back half of the plane, water now starting to rush in, the jet sinking from the aft, the X-Men beginning to drown.
Everyone out!
Storm yells, the group swim for the newly created exits. Scott, looking over to where Jean's dazzling body is now submerged.
No, we have to get her, she'll drown.
Get out of the plane, lad. Whatever's happening to her won't even let you close.
You heard the man, Summers. Move it!
Go, Scott, now!
Cyclops gives in, exhales, and dives. Swimming with the others up and out of the gaping hole in their sinking jet, the Blackbird now falls beneath the waterline and sinks down into Jamaica Bay. With a gasp for air, the group emerge from the water, looking around at each other in both panic and confusion.
Jean? Jean! Where is she?
I do not see her.
Cyclops. Perhaps.
Then, with a huge crash of water, something emerges. The night sky lit by the dazzling, blazing form of an inferno shaped into the form of a bird. And in the center of it is Jean Grey, now attired in a tight-fitting green garb with gold trimmings, including a sash and symbol of the very form that surrounds her.
Hear me, X-Men. No longer am I the woman you knew. I am fire and life incarnate. Now and forever, I am Phoenix!
X-Men Season 2, Episode 4. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus, Mr. John as Banshee, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Drew Kalen as Stephen Lang, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, and Alex Zuko as the Mystery Man. Music composed by Declan Gilgallon. Written and edited by Golderson, based on the works of Chris Claremont and Dave Cockrum. Sound effects sourced from freesounds.org. X-Men and all characters therein are copyright of Marvel Entertainment. This is a fan production with no affiliation.